Welcome to the I Am Podcast, enrichment for the ears of those who are always learning. Brought to you by the Avon-Maitland District School Board.
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Great. So my beautiful morning inside, it's not too bad outside either. At least it's better than yesterday, driving over 4 hours and that pouring rain. Now, I don't mind rain, but when you get a shower every time a truck passes you or comes to go the other direction. But I prayed. Here is what I asked God. Please take me where I need to be, because your children need to hear my message. And I got here. I was safe, and I still am. Thank you for being here. Now, why am I here? I am here to bring awareness. What is that about? The power of hate. On the screen, you will see what hate did and still does. Bullies and bystanders. You're going to hear me speak about the Nazi bullies. But I'm not saying that every German was a Nazi. Every German was not a Nazi, and every Nazi was not a German. So don't go out and judge. I'm going to ask you, please, show me how many of you have been bullied. I have been bullied. I was bullied by the Nazi bullies. I was 19 when they bullied me. Why? I was ugly? I don't think so. They didn't like my religion. Why are Canadian children bullying each other? Why? What does it mean to a young person to be a Canadian? What does it mean? Now, I've had children saying it means peace. Okay, that's one of them. How can we be peaceful when we bully each other or be a bystander? You know what bystanders do? They give the power to the bully. That's how Hitler got away with it. Your ancestors came to Canada from another country, from all over, everywhere. They came to Canada because they were accepted. When you don't accept others, you're being disrespectful to the country that allowed your ancestors to come in here. Now, I wasn't born here, but I've been a Canadian for 66 years. So what does that mean? Accepting the values that Canada represents. No hate. No bullies. No bystanders. If you consider yourself being a Canadian, show me. Show me that you are a Canadian by your behavior. That's what this hour is about. Your future. Behavior. It's not about me at 92. It's about you. And the way we behave will affect the future, won't it? The way the Nazis behaved 75 years ago, it affected the future. Don't go there. When my grandson was also bullied, where we live locally in Bracebridge, the bully called him a stupid Jew. That didn't bother my grandson. He knows who he is. He doesn't suffer of low self-esteem. His grandfather from his mother's side is Catholic. I am the one that's Jewish, so he has to be stupid. I asked my grandson, did you go to the principal? He was so stupid, he went to the newspaper. He wanted the whole community to read what happened in his high school. That teacher, however, became a bystander. He remained silent. He gave his power away to the bully. He didn't last very long at that school because parents did not want a bystander to teach their children. The first couple of slides that you're going to see has to do with leadership. Two leaders. You recognize the faces? So what was the difference between Gandhi and Hitler? The choices they made. As we all make choices every day. Gandhi led his people from darkness to light. An ongoing battle for human rights, dignity, freedom. Hitler led his people from light to darkness. And Germany was a beautiful country at one point, when I was your age, until Hitler came to power and then things changed. Boys at age 10 were taken from their families without permission, put them in boot camps where they were brainwashed how to brutalize others. They became the Hitler Youth. In my autobiography, the brown cover there, 5 times the national bestseller, there is a letter from a German girl. Her name is Heidi Reinhardt. She talks about her grandparents. They came to Canada under assumed names. Where did they settle? In Muskoka, just 15 kilometers south of Bracebridge, Gravenhurst. Here is what she says. When a child is taken away at that age, he and she is controlled by others. They have no choice. When you become an adult, you have a choice. You want to make a new life for yourself? Come to a country where you are accepted? You need to leave your issues behind. He didn't. He brutalized his own family. Became an alcoholic, committed suicide. Then she talks about me, how my life had changed, how my family were murdered. Out of 11 of us, 2 of us survived. I can go on hating, be angry, bitter, or depressed. But that's not what I'm doing. I cannot allow my pain to control my life. I have to be in control over my life. Hate will never bring my family back, will it? Hate is a sickness. It eats away at people, just like cancer does. For 15 years, I was babysitting my three grandchildren. My son and his wife were teachers. They were never, ever allowed to use the word hate. I taught my grandchildren to use the word I don't like. Doesn't that sound better than hate? I don't like. That's what you have to remember. A good leader helps other people. If you see somebody being mean to somebody else, you have a responsibility to go to your teacher or your principal, to an adult, and say what you have seen. If you don't, you're a poor leader, and poor leaders hurt other people. Don't go there. It wasn't a good place to be. Never. Up there in that circle where I was born once upon a time, the dark shaded area was occupied during World War I by Romania. 1939, Germany occupied Poland. I was a young teenager, very naive, thinking that Poland was far away from Hungary. Now, how naive can you be? It wasn't. Six million Jewish people were murdered. 5 million others that were not Jews were also murdered. Catholic priests were hung in Poland. Why did they hang them? They were hiding Jewish children. Somebody was squealing on them, told the Nazis, and they were murdered. Five of those children were my nieces. Five little girls, a 3.5-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, 6 months and 2 months old. In 1921, I had made it my mission to speak for all children. Not just the Jewish children, all children whose voices were silenced by hate. They cannot speak for themselves. When I leave this school today, I will leave with hope in my heart, hope that I've touched one of yours. One. March 19, 1944, the Nazi regime occupied Hungary. Now I'm 19. My mom and dad didn't have money to buy a house, so we lived in 2 rooms. We had no electricity, no indoor plumbing, one wooden toilet outside for 19 people. And that was okay. Some of us had to sleep on the floor because we didn't have enough beds. And that was okay too. I had a mom, I had a dad, I had brothers and sisters. That didn't last very long. They locked us up in a ghetto. May the 15th, they ordered us to pack our bags. They told us we are being shipped to Germany to work in a brick factory. That's what they told us. As part of the ghetto at the marsh of the railway station, where endless rows of boxcars were waiting. What happened in the boxcars? 100 to 110 people. Standing room only. One pail of water for drinking. How long did a pail of water last? Not very long. Very little air came into these boxcars. People started to die from lack of oxygen. I see the images of my mom as she found the corner in the boxcar. She was squatting down, hugging three of her grandchildren, my sister Sarah's children. She died in January that year. She left three little girls, and we looked after them. I asked my mom, "Why are you crying?" She said, "I'm not crying for me. I have lived." She was 48. "I'm crying for all of the children," she said. A four-day hell, standing day and night for 4 days. May the 19th, we arrived to a destination. Now, they said we are going to Germany to work in a brick factory. That's what they told us. And here is where we showed up. Hungarian Jews arriving at Auschwitz-Birkenau. I knew of a country called Poland. I never heard of Auschwitz. Maybe my mom and dad did. I never did. Well, it didn't take very long to find out what they did there. At that point, I turned to my mom and I said, "Where do we work here? This doesn't look like a brick factory." Auschwitz-Birkenau was a killing factory. 1.2 million were murdered in Auschwitz-Birkenau, including most of my family. At that point, I held the hand of my oldest niece, a tiny little blonde girl. Her name was Judy. When my sister died, I made a commitment, I will raise her. So I held her hand. My mom had a one-year-old grandchild on her arm. Her name was Hedy, and the two-year-old Kathy was hanging on to my mom's skirt. A prisoner came over. He whispered so the guards wouldn't hear him, "Give the child to an older woman." He didn't tell me why. I wasn't about to let go of her hand. Not until he came back the third time, had I not let go of Judy's hand, I wouldn't be sitting here. I would have gone where most of my family went. At that point, I didn't know where. Hungarian Jews lining up for selection protests. For what purpose? They didn't tell us. We came to the gate where the angel of death was standing, Dr. Joseph Mengele. He didn't speak to us. He just pointed in the direction he wanted us to go, left or right. And that's how he decided who will live or who shall die. Beside me was my younger sister. She was 1 month short of being 17. Other healthy-looking young females, 16 and older, some of them even 15, if they're big or tall in height, they were sent to the right. I turned my head to the left. I wanted to see where my mom was. Oops. Just want to have a drink of water. The moment I didn't see my mom, a sadness that came over me, I hope and wish that you will never know, never. At that point, I didn't know that I will never see my mom again. I wanted to give her a hug. I wanted to tell my mom how much I love her. And I wanted to tell my mom, I'm sorry that I disobeyed you. I did. I used to go to bed crying when my mom wouldn't let me go somewhere. And now I don't know where my mom is. And I cannot tell her what I felt I needed to say. How many of you in here disobeyed your mom? I did. I'm going to tell you something. You don't see me smile, do you? It's not a joke, and it's not funny. Because disobeying mom or dad, meaning we are disrespectful. Nobody told me that wasn't a good way to behave. I am asking you, please, don't ever go to bed angry. We cannot resolve issues with anger, never. Dialogue helps. Today is a good thing to start. Don't wait till it's too late. If your mom is there when you go home or your dad, give them a hug. Tell them you love them, even though you don't agree sometimes with their decision. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay to be disrespectful. Never. When you become an adult, you regret it, just like I have. Two days later, I found out that I will never see my mom again. Never. That's where she was waiting. They gathered them in the forest near the gas chamber. After 20 minutes, they were forced in there. 2 hours after they arrived in Auschwitz-Birkenau, they were murdered. Powder Zyklon B with other chemicals that murdered them in the gas chamber. When they unlocked the doors, they found their children died first. Some of those children's heads were crushed because the adult bodies fell on them. Our hair was cut off in the bathhouse. When the dead women were pulled out of the gas chamber, their hair was cut off. Why would they cut off dead women's hair? Tons of human hair was shipped to Germany to manufacture felt like horse blankets and socks for the U-boat soldiers. And then came the crematorium, the ovens. And that's what we smelled day and night, human flesh burning. Our families. A grandmother, just like my mom, walking with her three grandchildren, she doesn't realize she's walking toward the gas chamber. Dr. Joseph Mengele's Experiment Hospital, where they experimented on 4,000 twins. 90% of those children were Jewish. Some of those children were sewn together back to back to see how long they can survive. They were injected with tuberculosis, other viruses. Approximately 148 survived out of the 4,000. Out in the field, where a half a dozen bullies waiting, ordering us to take our clothes off. They didn't tell us why. If you had a healthy body, you were sent into the bathhouse. If you had a scar from surgery or any other issues, a rash or whatever, something that they didn't like, you were sent somewhere else. And never to be seen again, never. They gave us a gray blanket, took us to the Hungarian women's camp. We're lining up for our daily ration. One piece of bread, 70% sawdust. You know what sawdust is? You guys know what sawdust is? Now, you had to make a choice here. If you wanted to live, you ate it. Because it was very difficult to swallow. It was very dry. Soup, we called it the dirty water soup. Why was it dirty? It was made out of the peeling of the potatoes that were not washed. And that's what they gave us to eat. One day, and this was the day that we were supposed to be tattooed. I don't have one, and listen carefully why I don't have one. Half a dozen German civilian businessmen arrived, and 2,000 young female prisoners, my sister and I included, were isolated for slave labor. The first slave labor place, there was no building there. 2,000 of us were dumped in a field in a city in Germany called Düsseldorf. So guess what? You know what happened when it rained all night? We got wet because we were lying on the ground. We were wet. In the morning, we had to go down to the river. Freight ships used to come in, and we had to unload bricks, pile them up high along the banks. It was very difficult to lift a bundle, but you had to do it. If you didn't, they shoot you. A few weeks later, 520 were taken to the capital of the Rhine, Essen, where we worked for the crop manufacturer. There was a better place because we were fed in the factory and not by the Nazis. And they had a sub camp, they had barracks, they had bunks, they had a kitchen and water. But it was far out from the city near a coal mine. And we were marching to work from early morning till evening when it got dark, they marched us back to the camp. One day they made us halt near the sidewalk because the planes were coming. The air raid sounded. Now I understand German. I overheard a little boy, maybe 6 or 7 years of age. He was calling his mom, "Come and see, the idiots are here." I'm 92 and I've not yet seen an idiot. Neither did he. I've seen children and adults that are challenged, but they're not idiots. Can you be angry at a little boy that age? No, I can't. Because that little boy took with him to the street what he learned at home. Never ever is a child born racist, never. Racism, it's a learned attitude. You're not born with it. What children learn in preschool is what they bring into school. We're into October now, particular evening, raining, marching back to the camp. We had a big surprise. There was no more camp. Smoke and rubbish were waiting. That day the Allies had thrown small bombs. They don't make a hole in the ground, but when they fall down, they light up like a match and spread like wildfire, called phosphorid bomb. All the buildings were made out of wood and they burned to the ground. And we were scared, very scared. Where are we going to sleep? There are no more buildings. Kitchen burned down. No water. What did they do? They put us in a hole in the ground, a dirt hole, just dirt, and very, very dark. There was some straw down there, and we had to sleep on the straw like pigs. Many of the prisoners, young girls, that got very sick with tuberculosis. It was very damp down there. Also, we were afraid to go outside when it got dark because the bullies were hurting the girls. So the straw was used as a toilet in that hole. We had no toilet paper and we had no water. But we have snow outside now. In Auschwitz-Birkenau, when they stripped us naked, they gave us a pair of wooden clogs, and they didn't ask us what size. We had no socks, we had no underwear. Now we're dirty, we're wet. There is no water to get washed, and there is no toilet paper. And that's how we marched to work, from early morning till late at evening, in the snow. In the factory, we heard rumors from some of the German civilians that we will be taken away from there. And the reason for that was the Russian forces were coming closer to that part of Germany. They didn't want us to be free. They took us away, and that was the final journey. I will share with you the final journey after a show about 4 slides, okay? And I'm gonna explain why. I said in the beginning that every German was not a Nazi. This is the Romanian Nazis, the Black Iron Guard. What is it, that train? A train that doesn't go from here to Toronto or anywhere. It just goes up and down the tracks till people die inside the boxcar where air does not come in. Ukrainian police. They were given orders by the Gestapo, if a mother holds a baby in her arm, shoot the baby. You save a bullet that way. They expected the bullet go from the baby into the mother. In September of 1942, 32,000 men, women, and children were shot one by one in 2 days. Can I judge them? Many of those people in some of those Eastern European countries also fell victims by the Nazis. However, having said that, what was missing in most of those countries was compassion. Had there been compassion among those nations, you wouldn't see those slides. And I wouldn't be sitting here. They would have acted like Bulgaria did. Bulgaria was also occupied, but they weren't going to be bystanders. The bishop, the churches, the farmers, it was a community effort to get together and stand up against injustice. I only know one other country, Denmark, also protected the Jewish population. Fishing boats. They were smuggled them in fishing boats to Sweden, and Sweden took them in. Compassion. Children that come into this school or any other school from a home where they see compassion in the family, mom and dad, and the siblings, they will never be a bully or a bystander, never. Those children were taught preschool the value of having respect. Respect is something we cannot buy. We earn it. You have a responsibility today, after you have seen this and heard me, to talk to your mom and dad about compassion. It's very simple. People that are compassionate, what it means, they care for other people. That's what it means, to be kind and caring. It takes a lot less energy to be kind to someone than to be mean. Mass execution, the capital of Hungary. They are oppressed. In 2007, after 63 years, I returned to hell. I had a filmmaker with me from Toronto, his wife, and my book editor from Bracebridge. At the hotel, they knew we were doing a documentary film. They told us to go down to the river. There is a memorial there. And the filmmaker in the yellow jacket, Don Gray. He tried to get me to talk. All I could say to him, I'm devastated. And I was, because 28 days of hell started on the banks of the Dunavi. Had I not made that choice to go there, I wouldn't have believed. I knew there were anti-Semitic behavior long before the war. What happens to hate if it's left unchecked? It turns into rage. Rage gave them the power to commit genocide. Have they changed since? No. They're still racist big time. Except we are not there anymore. They're targeting the Roma people. They're targeting the Syrians or any other that would like to make a home for themselves. More women than men died in Auschwitz-Birkenau. The reason for that was they were mothers, they had children. My father was healthy. He was sent to slave labor camp, Buchenwald in Germany. And that's where he died. This is an exercise, that I do in every school. I want you to be honest and show me how many of you say to another person, I hate you. Just put your hands up. Adults are doing it too. Don't be shy. I'm not here to judge. Thank you. And how many of you don't like it when somebody tells you, I hate you? Yeah. So you know very well the meaning of it, don't you? Otherwise, there wouldn't be such a vast difference. Why then are we saying things to other people that we don't want them say to us? Why? It's called the golden rules. Do unto others as you would want them do unto you. I bet you, if you adopt that kind of an attitude, there won't be a bully in your school. Never. ¥11 million people died. And that's not acceptable because of the reason why they died. So what killed them? It's not the gun. It's the person that pulls the trigger. They died because they were hated. That's why they died. Here is what I would like to see happening. When you have the urge to say to someone, I hate you, can you stop long enough just to count to 10? Now, that's not difficult, is it? But while you're counting, think your mind off yourself and think about the little girl that died because she was hated, or a boy that died your own age, they were hated. Take your mind off yourself, because life is not about the capital I. It's not about I. It's not about me. We need to change that attitude and think about we. We, together, we stand the chance to see peace in your lifetime. Together, not I or me. It's we. You're giving yourself a chance to develop a positive character by not being preoccupied with the I. The final journey, Bergen-Belsen, Anne Frank and her sister died there. The barrack my sister and I ended up in, there wasn't a chair to sit on or a bunk to lie on. All prisoners were on the floor. What kind of floor? A floor that was covered with diarrhea and lice. They were very sick. They were drinking dirty water, and it gave them a tummy infection. Adults are calling it dysentery. 104,000 died in Bergen-Belsen. Starvation, dehydration, and disease. I also got very sick there with a high fever. At home, when we had a fever, my mom would wet a towel and put it on our head to bring the fever down. What do you do if you have no water? I urinated on a rag. Sounds awful? The awful part was when there was no more urine. That's where you ended up. And why is that? It's humanly impossible for the body to give up something we don't put in. If you have no fluid, you're not going to go to the bathroom to have a pee-pee. That was the bad part. Approximately 500 died every day. 6 days before the Allies came in, orders were given, zero supply. So what did we get to eat while I was there? Next to zero. Nothing but one small metal mug of that dirty water soup made out of the peeling of the potato. They took us away. And the reason for that was the Allies were nearby. They didn't want anyone alive when they come in. Water well blew up through bombing. How did you survive this 6 days? They were just dropping like flies. How did my sister and I survive? The legacy that my mom passed down to me, I took with me to the camps. You see, I fought for survival pre-birth. I wasn't supposed to be born. She was ordered immediate abortion. She didn't want to have that, so she stayed in bed 8 months. And what I learned from my mom, I took with me to the camps. Never ever to give up hope, never. Courage, it took courage to stay in bed. Her spirit had never left me, then and still is with me. I made sure that my sister lived by that. Think of mom. Never to give up hope, never. April 15th, 11 o'clock in the morning, we were liberated by the British and Canadian forces that came in from Holland. I knew I was free from being killed, never ever free from the memory of it, of such a crime against humanity. Never. Those prisoners that arrived there toward the end received a red cross on the forehead. I remember a soldier bending down where I was lying on the floor. It was an indicator to the ambulance driver that those were the prisoners to be taken away first. They took us to a tent to be disinfected. They converted a building outside Bergen boundaries, made it into a hospital. That's where we were treated. Typhoid fever and dysentery. A couple of months later, the Red Cross arrived from Sweden to give us some advice. You can go back to the country where you were born. I didn't want to go there. I knew they were racist. They were allies. There was no war between Hungary and Germany. They were allies. They just walked in overnight. I made a choice for my sister as well, and we went to Sweden. And that was a very positive choice. There, I regained faith in humanity by their actions, the way they treated us, like brothers and sisters of the same family, the human family. They didn't tell us what they were going to do. They showed us, I am asking you to do the same thing. Show each other respect and acceptance. In October that year, I met a young Swede. What were the challenges? I'm Jewish, he's not. He was going to school to become an engineer. That month, I turned 21. I had never been inside the classroom. I make up for it now, though. Today, while we are gathering in here, there are children somewhere who would love to go to school, but they don't got the same gift you have. Taking it for granted, you should be ashamed of yourself. I was ashamed of myself. I was ashamed to tell people I don't know how to read or write, so I became a liar, and I didn't want to be a liar. Until one day I had to tell the truth because I needed help. But now I filled out some papers because I became a young widow at age 39. My husband was an engineer. Here is the morals of that young Swede. He didn't lock me out because I was different. I've seen children lock other children out. I've seen it where I live. And I'm sure it's happening all over the place. We lock people out, we think we are better than they are. People that think that are certainly not better, that's for sure. My husband used to say to me, long before we were married, it's okay to be different. What's not okay, it's when we are indifferent. That's not okay. We are all the same. We all bleed when we cut ourselves. And the color is the same, it's red. The only thing that's different is the way we think. The gift that my husband gave me long before we were married, it's not the kind of gift you can buy with money. You can't buy it. You have to give it and receive it. That is the only thing that I have to bring into your school. Unconditional acceptance. Love for another human being. I hope in my heart that you will accept this gift and pass it on to other children. Share your experience. Why is that important? You're the last generation that will ever be part of this type of assembly. Your children never will, never. All children need to know the truth. How 1.5 million children your age and younger were murdered because they were hated. You're the future and you need to stop that cycle from happening over and over and over again. I cannot change the past. The power lies in your hands. You have some choices to make. And particularly the senior students in here. You need to ask yourself, what examples will you leave behind for the generation to follow you? Have a good look at it. Don't be afraid to look inside you. You might find some very good things about yourself and build on it. At age 35, just north of Toronto on Major Mackenzie, my husband was hit by someone who was drinking and driving. 2.5 years later, he passed away from those injuries. His body is gone, but not his spirit. His spirit will be alive as long as I'm alive. The legacy he passed down to our son, he was 10 years of age then, had been passed down to his son. Unconditional acceptance, love, compassion for another person. It's okay to be different, as I said. For children here, I'm asking you, please, don't get into a car when somebody was drinking. You need to love yourself and just say, I'm staying in, no matter who it is. Don't get into a car. Never. And that's the challenge for every one of you. Never again, never. Never shall a child die because it's hated, never. I want to thank you for being such a good audience and giving me this opportunity to heal. For 50 years that I was silent, I did not heal. You're part of my healing. I want you to know that. I couldn't do it without you. May God bless you all. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.